Spaceship Two is coming together. Alpha Aviation will liquidate, and Adam Aircraft tells shareholders what it will need to survive. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 24th, 2008. At a flashy press event in New York Wednesday, Virgin Galactic unveiled the design of its new space launch system based on the technology of Spaceship One, which won the Ansari X Prize in 2004. White Knight 2, the mothership, is expected to begin flight testing this summer at Scaled Composites in Mojave, California. Virgin says White Knight 2 is the world's largest all-carbon composite aircraft, with a unique high-altitude lift capacity to launch Spaceship Two and its 8 astronauts into suborbital spaceflight. Virgin says Spaceship Two is now nearly 60% complete. In addition to its primary mission, hauling tourists into low Earth orbit, the craft can also adapt to other scientific and commercial applications. White Knight 2 has also been designed for mission flexibility. Both Scaled Composites and Virgin Galactic believe the mothership, powered by four Pratt & Whitney PW308A engines, has sufficient lifting capability to launch unmanned vehicles carrying satellites and other scientific payloads into low Earth orbit. Virgin also reports 80 of Spaceship Two's first passengers have been through medical assessment and centrifuge training at the NASTAR facility in Philadelphia to prepare them for G-loads and other unique demands of space travel. New Zealand plane maker Alpha Aviation entered liquidation proceedings this week, leaving many of its 70 workers without jobs and owed a week's wages. The New Zealand Herald reports the company broke the news at a staff meeting on Tuesday. The plane maker's Australian parent, Inventus, spent over $12 million U.S. to buy the company in 2004, intending to produce the French-designed Robin R2160 and 2120 piston singles for use in the world training market. Things seemed to be going well. Ironically, Tuesday, the day the staff was told of the liquidation, was the one-year anniversary of the Alpha Series earning FAA type certification. Former Mooney Aircraft CEO Gretchen Yan was on board to transition the company into a producer. The Herald says costs spun out of control, and Inventus was unable to find a buyer. The company promises financial details by week's end. The Wichita Eagle reports Adam Aircraft may not be far behind. A letter to stockholders dated January 15th says Adam must raise over $30 million by the end of this month to continue operating until Citibank can put together another $100 million or more by May 31st. If either of those funding rounds proves unsuccessful, the company will be forced into liquidation, the letter continues, leaving stockholders little possibility of a recovery of previous investments. As ANN reported last Thursday, Adam laid off approximately 300 of its 800 workers and halted operations at its production facility in Ogden, Utah. Lots of people vacation in the state of Maine, and there are some beautiful places to fly there. But Maine has joined Florida in levying a use tax, equivalent to a sales tax, on planes which spend 20 days or more in the state in a year. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association last year urged its members in other states to leave their aircraft at home when they visit Maine, or just stay away from the state entirely. In an attempt to avoid a negative impact on aircraft service facilities in the state of Maine, lawmakers exempted visits by out-of-state pilots for maintenance and repairs from becoming subject to the tax. To avoid clogging up the courts, the law also exempts aircraft over 6,000 pounds, targeting instead small aircraft owners who may not be able to afford a court battle. The Associated Press cites the example of Steve Kahn, who lives in Massachusetts but flies to visit his vacation home in Rockland, Maine. He also transports patients in rural Maine to Boston area hospitals at no charge. Kahn was rewarded with a surprise $26,000 tax bill on his airplane. Brian Cleary of Longboat Key, Florida, flies to Maine to tend to his timber and property management business. His surprise use tax bill topped $175,000. He's so mad he says he'll invest in New Hampshire from now on. Florida, Washington State, and Illinois also tax out-of-state plane owners. States are using FAA records to identify aircraft which might be targets for use taxes. The apparent message to pilots is, don't come here. And if you must come, whatever you do, don't file a flight plan. Up next on ANN, Eclipse Aviation and Hampson bury the hatchet. an upgrade to the B-1 bomber fleet begins. And United Airlines won't stand still waiting for a merger. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 24th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Eclipse Aviation and Hampson Aerospace Incorporated announced on Tuesday the two companies have reached a full and final settlement of all claims and disputes stemming from a lawsuit filed against Eclipse late last year. As ANN reported, Eclipse was sued by the UK-based Hampson on November 14th, alleging Eclipse failed to make required payments for empennage assemblies produced at Hampson's facility in Grand Prairie, Texas. That news of the lawsuit set off rumors of financial trouble at Eclipse. CEO Vernon Rayburn quickly countered Hampson's claims, saying components provided by Hampson arrived in an unusable state. Quote, "We spend way too much time fixing what should have been done right to begin with." Unquote. Eclipse tells ANN this week's settlement will result in the dismissal of the complaints previously filed in litigation and arbitration between the parties. The terms of the settlement are confidential. In October, Hampson earned a contract to provide empennage assemblies for the upcoming Honda jet. Engineers at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base near Tucson, Arizona, have started modifications on the first of dozens of B-1 Lancer bombers to receive upgrades in the coming months. The Arizona Daily Star reports the entire U.S. Air Force active fleet of 65 swept-wing Lancers will be outfitted with the latest targeting and surveillance technology. To decrease the noise impact on surrounding communities, officials have ordered the B-1s to take off and land at the southeast end of the base as weather allows. The modifications include targeting pods that allow sending battlefield images to ground troops and help reduce friendly fire incidents. A Boeing contractor is handling the upgrades as part of the nearly $3 million contract awarded to Lockheed Martin. It should take about 2 years to perform the modifications to the entire fleet. Following its report Tuesday of a fourth quarter loss in 2007, United Airlines parent UAL put its chief financial officer on a conference call to clarify the company's short-term strategy. United has talked about spinning off its maintenance operation and frequent flyer program, but has subsequently been mentioned as a potential merger partner for Delta. Chief Financial Officer Jake Brace told analysts, quote, "If you looked at the situation and said what you would want to happen, you'd want to do consolidation before you did maintenance or a frequent flyer transaction. That would increase the scale of the business and the value of the business. But it doesn't make any sense for us to wait for consolidation to happen or not happen. We don't control that one way or the other," unquote. Brace said UAL is already evaluating proposals for its maintenance business, but does not expect to make a decision in the first quarter. The frequent flyer program is expected to stick around until at least the second quarter. On Wednesday, Delta Airlines reported a $70 million loss for the fourth quarter, but said it managed to record a $1.6 billion profit for the year as a whole. The Atlanta-based carrier will distribute $158 million in profit-sharing bonuses to employees. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the fourth quarter loss at 18 cents per share matched analysts' predictions. In his announcement to investors, Delta CEO Richard Anderson chose to focus on the positive. Quote, "Our successful emergence from bankruptcy, continued successful international expansion, strong operational performance, positive financial results, in spite of the unrelenting pressure we face from record fuel prices, reflect the outstanding work of our people, unquote. Breaking the industry trend, Dallas-based low-cost carrier Southwest Airlines reported net income of $111 million in the fourth quarter. That's equivalent to 15 cents per share, nearly doubling last year's $57 million. American Airlines posted fourth quarter losses, as did United. Continental said it managed a pre-tax profit, though it hasn't yet released its full report on the fourth quarter. Still ahead, Lufthansa wraps up its purchase of a stake in JetBlue. The Florida primary draws out candidates' positions on the space program. And Grone Brothers debuts the quick-build Sparrowhawk 3 gyroplane. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 24th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. JetBlue Airways and Deutsche Lufthansa AG have completed their stock purchase agreement, giving the German airline a 19% stake in the U.S. low-cost carrier. The $300 million transaction marks the first time Lufthansa has made a move into the U.S. airline industry. The deal gives JetBlue a welcome infusion of cash and gives Lufthansa control over a potential takeover down the line. Lufthansa acquired roughly 42 million newly issued shares in JetBlue for $7.27 per share. The deal gives Lufthansa a seat on JetBlue's board of directors. Lufthansa's stake in JetBlue falls beneath the 25% level of foreign ownership at which the U.S. Department of Transportation starts getting nervous, but it is possible the carrier could try to add to its stake down the line. Until now, U.S. space policy has been a yawner on the presidential campaign trail. The prevailing wisdom is that the issue is not important to voters nationally and that the downside risk of saying something unpopular outweighs any benefit in discussing specific policy. But this coming Tuesday is primary day in Florida, and NASA is a big part of the state's economy. And so, begrudgingly, the candidates are giving up vague hints about how space exploration would be treated in their administrations. Florida Today reports that among the Democrats, Hillary Clinton was the first to go on record supporting a robust human spaceflight program, although she was less sure of the value of going to the moon or Mars on a specific timetable, which is the underlying premise of the Constellation program. Barack Obama, who had previously proposed mothballing Constellation for 5 years to divert the money to education programs, must have had a talk with someone about what it would cost to restart that program after that kind of a layoff. He's since softened his opposition. On the GOP side, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney remained vague on NASA's funding or future direction. Back in August, he said of the space program, quote, "Our future is driven in large measure by our investments in technology and innovation and learning, and that's what the space program is," unquote. Florida is considered a must-win for Republican Rudy Giuliani. He's called the 5-year gap between the shuttle fleet's retirement in 2010 and the Orion program's start in 2015 unacceptable, similar to Obama's new position on the Democrat side. So far, neither has offered ideas for closing that 5-year gap. Republican Mike Huckabee says only that the space program should be expanded, but says he wouldn't want to make a decision on whether U.S. astronauts should be sent to Mars. Florida Today quotes Howard McCurdy, a science policy expert and public administration professor at American University in Washington, who says this year's compressed primary election season has squeezed discussion of policy out of the campaign. Quote, "Everyone is transfixed by who's in the lead and who won last week, and we really haven't got around to talking about issues," unquote. Or, in other words, there will be time to talk about going to Mars after you find out if you're going to Pennsylvania Avenue. Grone Brothers Aviation Incorporated announced this week that its American Autogyro division is introducing the Sparrowhawk 3 Quick Build Gyroplane Kit. CEO David Grone says the new kit offers more than just reduced construction time. Quote, "More importantly, several critical areas of assembly, where mistakes by the builder could lead to compromising the safety of the aircraft, are now completed here at the factory," unquote. Sparrowhawk program manager Devon Hansen added, quote, "More than 100 Sparrowhawks have been sold through American Autogyro's national and international dealer network. For many of our customers, it had been their first attempt at building an aircraft. We wanted to reduce the build time and yet increase the enjoyment and sense of accomplishment throughout the build process," unquote. Among the specific changes, the kit now includes a factory wiring harness, mast, keel, and landing gear subassemblies, and a cabin and tail which arrive complete and ready for prep and painting. And finally, if you love flight, perhaps you've experienced the urge to throw a paper airplane from a really high place. I know I have. So what if you had the chance to throw a paper airplane from the International Space Station? It turns out a Japanese professor and a group of origami masters have collaborated on a paper airplane which will fly that very mission. Professor Shinji Suzuki from the Department of Aeronautics and Astronautics at the University of Tokyo worked on the project with the Japan Origami Airplane Association. They used silicon-treated heat-resistant paper folded to create a tiny paper aircraft with a rounded nose. Tossed from the space station, it will be traveling at Mach 20. By the time it encounters significant heating in the atmosphere, it will have dropped to Mach 7. Amazingly, the London Telegraph reports a smaller version of the plane survived a test run at Mach 7 in a wind tunnel last week, where it saw temperatures as high as 570 degrees Fahrenheit. As Ray Bradbury fans know, that's quite a feat for anything paper. Professor Suzuki says the hope is to have a real paper spacecraft ready to send up with Japanese astronaut Koichi Wakata when he travels to the ISS later this year. He says the technology from paper planes could lead to the development of new transport craft, which makes this paper airplane a serious science experiment. You know, it's funny, I tried that same line in third grade. Miss Vukolic wasn't having any of it. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today my guest is Stephen Harden, the very first graduate of Delta Connection Academy's 141 FITS program. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.